Finding your true calling can take years, even decades. Children's book author Christopher Paul Curtis found his calling in his 40s. After spending more than a decade working in a Detroit car factory, he began to write novels for children about the African-American experience. That love of writing helped him become the first African-American man to win the Newbery Medal. Christopher Paul Curtis is in Decatur tomorrow night. He spoke with my colleague, Adam Ragusa.
Tell everybody about your journey from where you were born to becoming a professional children's book author. It's not a common story.
Nope. On the way, I didn't see anybody there but me. I started out as working on the line at Fisher Body in Flint, Michigan. I did that for 13 years. I hated every single minute of it. But I found comfort in writing during my breaks. And I think that, it's what I tell young people all the time. The more you do something, the better you get at it. So I think that all the practice writing I did while I was in the factory made a big difference. And when I quit the factory, I entered my books in contests and finally got the Watson's Go to Birmingham published. And then It's been all gravy since then.
What kinds of things were you writing when you were working on the line?
I'd start out trying to write fiction, but I was a very good reader, and I knew bad fiction when I was reading it, so I could tell I was writing bad fiction. So I set the fiction aside, and I just wrote, I was journaling, probably, is what it would be called. I was writing about things that went on in the factory, things that were going on in my life, just trying to get my thoughts down.
And when did you turn to children's literature?
I've got almost 10 books that are children's books, but I still don't feel like I'm a children's writer. Huh. When I started writing The Watsons Go to Birmingham, it was narrated by a 10-year-old boy, but I always thought of it as really an adult story. If I would have thought of who the audience was, I would have said it was adults, but that it was written in the voice of a 10-year-old boy. But then once I entered the contest and they told me it was a young adult book or even a middle reader, I kind of felt like you publish the book, you can call it whatever you want.
Sure. Well, remind everybody of the plot of The Watsons Go to Birmingham, and from that we'll segue into a clip of a movie that was made of it a few years ago.
Okay, The Watsons Go to Birmingham is narrated by 10-year-old Kenny Watson, and Kenny's got three problems in his life. The first problem is he's very smart. And that doesn't sound like it should be a problem, but it is. Kids call him Poindexter and Egghead, and he gets teased about things. The second problem that Kenny has is that he's got an older brother named Byron, and Byron has dedicated his life, according to Kenny, to making Kenny miserable. And the third problem that Kenny has is he has what's known as a lazy eye, and that just means the muscles on one of the sides of one of his eyes are stronger than they should be, and his eyes are crossed. In the story, Kenny is narrating about a trip that his family took. They were taking Byron from Flint, Michigan, down to Birmingham, Alabama. And working in the factory, many of the people that were there were from the South. And when we get a break from the factory, like a week off or changeover, they would drive back south. And lots of times they would send, if they had a bad kid, they'd send it back to the grandmother back down home. So I kind of borrowed the story from that and decided to make the Watsons send the 13-year-old semi-juvenile delinquent son, Byron, down to Birmingham. And once they're down there, it touches upon the bombing of a church, much like the 16th Street Baptist Church. It's not a civil rights story. It's really a story about a family and the impact that this bombing has on them.
All right, let's listen to a clip of a movie that was made of the book in 2013.
I mean, I don't like leaving my family down here in the segregated South, not without me. But I don't have a choice. I got to go to work, and your mother wants to spend some time with her mother.
So what do you need from me?
I want you to think before you act, because your actions have real consequences down here.
We are talking to Christopher Paul Curtis. He is an author of fictional works that are described and marketed as children's books, but as we just heard, he often really feels like he's writing for a general audience. And nonetheless, he is a recipient of the Newbery Medal, which is the highest honor in children's literature. Writes a lot about the African-American experience, going back to his upbringing in Flint, Michigan. A lot of your books set in Flint or similar towns like Gary, Indiana. Your work is so strongly associated with the industrial North, places where African Americans during the Great Migration came from the South, went up to places like Flint to work in factories. And we have seen such a significant reversal of that demographic trend, the reverse Great Migration. America's black children, to a great extent these days, are being raised in the South, more so right. than in those traditional northern capitals of African American life. I wonder if you plan to look to the South more for inspiration in your future work, or are you really Flint to the core?
No, well, I'm Flint to the core, but that doesn't mean I have to write only about Flint. My latest book, which is called The Journeys of Little Charlie, actually starts out in South Carolina and then comes up to Buxton, but the majority of the story takes place in the southern United States. And it's different also in that I've the narrator of the book is a white sharecropper, a 13-year-old boy. I do feel very much in touch with communities like Flint and Gary and Cleveland, Rust Belt cities. I think I know them, and you know I know the hard times that we're going through in these cities, and you know the in many ways the people have been forgotten.
What do you see in the future for them?
It's hard to say. As I said, they seem to be forgotten. Politicians don't really care what happens it seems like they don't care what happens to the people of Flint. And, you know, Flint is such a good example because we have the water that has poisoned so many people there. And, you know, there was a big kick up and kerfuffle about it for maybe a year. And now you don't hear all that much about it. And the water's still bad. So I don't know. I hate to sound pessimistic, but being realistic, we need some big changes before anything positive can be done, I think.
That's children's book author Christopher Paul Curtis speaking with Adam Ragusea. Curtis speaks at Holy Trinity Parish Episcopal Church tomorrow at 7 p.m. in Decatur. Details at gpbnews.org.